From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, Toyota throws a housewarming party for itself in Plano. And a look inside the holiday catalog you don't want your kids to use for their wish list. The secret history of the Neiman Marcus Christmas book coming up. First, to the quarantine standoff between the state of New Jersey and nurse Casey Hickox. It ended today when the UT Arlington grad was allowed to go home to Maine after showing no symptoms of Ebola for 24 hours. Her case became the focus of a tense dispute between federal health officials and the governors of New York and New Jersey. They initially required anyone arriving in the U.S. from West Africa to be quarantined for 21 days. Hickox had been working with Doctors Without Borders in Sierra Leone. She complained about her treatment in New Jersey after she became the first person forced into the state's mandatory quarantine. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie said when Hickox, quote, has time to reflect, she'll understand, unquote. Toyota gave Plano schools $1 million today and threw a block party for the public as it officially said hello to the city where it's moving its North American headquarters. KERA's Bill Zeeble reports the company also gave six pickup trucks to the city.
The predictable speeches from Governor Rick Perry and Toyota executives praise Texas as business-friendly and Plano as a safe, affordable, and well-educated city. Jim Lentz, Toyota North America's CEO, said in considering the decision, he initially looked about a decade ahead. Then his boss, Akio Toyota, said to think longer term.
What changes do you need to make today to make this company better 50 years from now? In the idea of this one Toyota of bringing all the affiliates together, to me, was the biggest change we needed to make.
Lentz wanted to bring sales, marketing, finance, engineering, and other corporate employees based in at least three other states together in one place that was also closer to its factories. He and his team looked at about 100 different towns.
There is no question that Texas is the best state to be in. And I think this area in Plano, northern Texas, is by far the premier place in the country to be.
Plano Mayor Harry LaRosselier says money probably helped.
Like a cake, there's a lot of ingredients as part of it, but the Texas Enterprise Fund provided $40 million in incentive. City of Plano was $6.7 million. And I believe North Carolina offered $107 million. They chose here because it was really about their people and the quality of life.
Lentz said schools also helped make a difference.
The backbone of any community is your education system. So the fact that you have great public schools in this entire area, there's no reason someone would have to live outside of 15 minutes from their homes. And I can tell you today in California, that's not quite possible because of the cost of housing.
Speaking of housing, Lentz has already moved here along with a handful of Toyota executives. By this time next year, he expects 650 families will have moved to North Texas, and in all, Toyota's headquarters will employ about 4,000 people. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
For the last two decades, Joni Pico has written a book a year, and her last eight novels have debuted at number one on the New York Times bestsellers list. Today on Think, she told Chris Boyd that keeping up that pace means not waiting for the perfect time to write.
I started writing when, like you said, you know, 20 years ago, I had tiny kids. I had three children under the age of four, and I was the primary caretaker, and I was writing a novel a year.
So lots of free time.
Lots of free time. But exactly. I got used to writing when, you know, Barney was on TV, when they weren't hitting each other with blocks. I used to take my laptop to nursery school pickup, and I would put it on the steering wheel and type until Kyle was brought out to the car. You know, whatever it took, any 5 minutes that I had. And when you don't have a lot of time and you want to write, you sit down and you write. And, you know, sometimes it's not very good, but you have to have something there to work with. Now, and actually even back when organized school started for my kids, I suddenly had 8 hours a day to write. That was a huge gift. And I think I carried that lesson with me, that idea that if your butt goes into the chair, it's time to write. And I still do it today. You know, I get asked a lot about writer's block. I just don't believe in it because I didn't have the luxury of time. And when you don't have the luxury of time, you don't get writer's block.
Jodi Picco talks about her latest bestseller, Leaving Time, tonight at 7 at SMU's Hughes Trigg Theater. Think Rears tonight at 10, or you can listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. Dallas-based Neiman Marcus has spent nearly a century selling some of the most extravagant holiday gifts on the planet. The company's annual Christmas book has offered everything from matching his and her submarines to a 10-pound solid gold wig. I sat down with Neiman's Vice President of Corporate Communications for a look into the Christmas book's history. Ginger Reeder, thanks for joining me.
You're welcome.
Just how old is the Christmas book anyway?
Well, the Christmas book is 88 years old. We date it back to a 1926 Christmas card full of gift suggestions to our customers. It's a tiny little mailing. But the real Christmas book took off, I mean, had its heyday in the starting in the late 1950s when Stanley Marcus decided to include these fantasy gifts, or as he referred to them, stunt pages every year.
What could I have bought in that first book?
You could have bought, much to the chagrin of many people, a lizard-covered cigarette case for women, which was quite shocking at the time. But there were negligees, there were sweaters, there were small leather good accessories, that sort of thing. There were about 26 different gift ideas.
Toothpaste that tastes like brandy to a solid chocolate Monopoly set. Where do you find these wilder items? Do companies pitch them to you? Is there some kind of crazy brainstorming session at Neiman Marcus Central?
Well, it's some combination of both. I get about 200 to 400 different ideas every year from outside the company. And then some things, I might be watching something on television, I might be at a movie, and I might say, hey, that might make a great fantasy gift, and then I have to go and develop it. So I'll take ideas wherever they come from. I had one great fantasy gift that was pitched to me while I was standing in line waiting for my passport to be renewed. So...
What was that idea?
It was a backyard water park.
Has there been any gift idea that was too extravagant or perhaps too risky that was rejected or even pulled?
Not after it had been selected, though, you know, we've had things like a working guillotine proposed, and that probably would have gotten a lot of publicity, but didn't seem quite right for Neiman Marcus, so we passed on those.
I read about a pair of... $400,000 robots. Now, I wonder, did these items that get the headlines, the really expensive ones, does somebody really buy them?
It just depends. If there's somebody out there who's looking for that particular thing and we've managed to capture their imagination, they'll tend to buy it.
What do you do with the stuff that doesn't sell? Do you send them back to the company? You know, are they housed in some kind of secret warehouse like Indiana Jones?
I know. People always say, do you have a secret Neiman Marcus warehouse full of submarines and mummy cases? Most of these items are on consignment. So we typically don't have them in-house with us.
The last decade has been, you know, quite the fiscal roller coaster for most people and companies. But beyond that, I'm wondering, throughout its history, has there ever been a need or even a request to tone down the Christmas book, you know, during hard times?
Not really. I mean, I think certainly in 2008 it was challenging because we launched the Christmas book 2 weeks after Lehman Brothers folded. And that was a tough time for everybody. But we still sold one or two fantasy gifts. So again, our suggestion is not that this is something that everybody needs. Certainly, we don't suggest that anyone needs any of this. But just as when we were children and the holiday season approached and we anticipated, oh, what am I going to get? Is it going to be a new bicycle? Is it going to be a new Barbie dream house? Just because we're adults, we don't have to give up that sort of anticipation. We just notch up the game a little bit.
Ginger Reeder of Neiman Marcus, thanks for taking the time.
Certainly.
Tonight brings us mostly clear skies with a low near 66. Tomorrow is cloudy, a 20% chance for showers, and a cooler high near 75. Tomorrow night, much of the same, mostly cloudy, 20% chance of rain, with a low near 58. It's currently 85 degrees in Dallas, 83 in Fort Worth, 78 in Tyler, and 84 in Wichita Falls. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.